Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. I'm glad that you are here. So, gosh, today has been a day. This has been a week. This has been a couple of weeks. And I just thank God for his grace sufficient and his mercies new every day. I want to... I'm going to talk tonight. Before I get into my message on the word, I want to talk because I want to share some things with my audience because I'm always looking for guests that to come on the show and share if they feel like God has truly placed something in their hearts to share. I believe that God has given me a platform. And one of the things that God had told me when he gave me the platform, that my platform would be used to introduce others as God has called them. So as God is calling people into the kingdom for their kingdom assignment, that my platform would be a platform that gives them the opportunity. It's kind of like a jump start. And so that when God would place it on my heart to invite somebody onto the show, to share, that I would invite the person, and then after I send out the invitation, that was it. So the person had the ability to say yes or no, but God told me to never beg anybody to come on the show, to never keep asking. You ask one time, and then if they accept, great. If they don't, brush the dust from your feet. That's what God shared with me. And so that's what I've done over the years when I brought on guests. Those who accept it, received it, come forth, and it's been great. One of the things I want to say is that when I first started inviting guests to my show, now keep in mind, I'm in my eighth year. When I would bring people on as guests, initially I was just excited. You know, I was new at this, and I was just excited. So anybody that said they wanted to be a guest, I was glad to have them, and I was bringing everybody on the show. We live and we learn. So when I was doing that, what I found is that I had to begin to do my due diligence because everybody wasn't on the same page. What do you mean, Coach D? I wasn't vetting people. I was just excited that they wanted to come on and share their story. As a result of that, I would get people on the show that was, you know, that would begin to share their story, but they wasn't sharing Jesus, or they had their own belief system of what they thought was their truth. Or people would get on the show and start cussing and all kind of different things I've experienced. I've had people that came on the show that wrote books that I never read, but here I am having them on my show promoting their book, only for me to read the book later to find out that's not a book that I want to promote to my audience. So I learned from that, and so I began to do my due diligence. I began to have conversations with people that I invite to be on the show. Why? Because I want to make sure that they line up according to this platform, Whatever they believe or whatever outside of my platform is their business, but if you're coming onto my platform and God has made me the steward over this home, then I have to make sure I'm doing my due diligence, and I need to make sure that when people come onto this platform that they are teaching, preaching, sharing Jesus, period. There's no compromise to that. That's what it is. Now, some people may have, you know, sharing Jesus, and maybe their concept or their idea or what they believe their revelation is on certain scriptures may vary from what the show believes. So I'm doing a disclaimer that it may vary, it may differ, and that the opinions of our guests may not be the same opinion as MCD Network. Amen? So I want to put that disclaimer out. Again, this platform is to give people opportunity to come and share their testimonies, not focus on all the negatives of what happened. Yes, sure, what happened, but the end of it should show the glory of God. How did God, yeah, this happened, I had a horrible childhood, blah, 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 but glory to God because of God's grace, his mercy, whatever God did to get you out of that situation is what we're more focused on, according to Revelation 12 and 11. They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they didn't love themselves even unto death. So in other words, we know first and foremost they got to be saved. That's the blood. They have to be saved. They got to believe the gospel. They have to have to confess with their mouths and believe in their hearts. Amen? That's the first thing. The second thing is the words of the testimony. When I share what God has brought me through so that God gets the glory, but when I share that, not only does God get the glory, but a lot of people get deliverance. They get deliverance in that. Because a lot of people are going through things, and when we go through things, how many of us know when we're going through, it feels like I'm the only person in the world that's going through. That's the way the enemy does. He divides and separates, isolates. And so when you're going through something, you know, Jesus, the 40 days, he was isolated, and the enemy was tempting him and, you know, and trying to get him to submit, trying to get him to give in. And that's the enemy. That's the he's a coward. That's his trick, is to get you alone, get you isolated, you know, make you feel like nobody cares, nobody knows, nobody else is going through what I'm going through, you know. And it happens to the best of us. If you don't believe me, ask the prophet Elijah. Because he went through a whole spiel about nobody else was going through what he was going through. Amen? So So I just want to put that out there as we continue to have guests on Processing the Pain, that you guys will understand what the significance of the platform is. Sometimes this is people's first time ever speaking on a platform. Maybe God has called them, and now they're stepping out and being obedient to what God has called them to. And doesn't mean that they're perfected. You know, God never asked us to be perfect. He asked us to be faithful. So maybe they, you know, maybe they haven't been perfected in their speaking when it comes to the Word of God, and that's okay. So I just wanted to, again, put that disclaimer out there before I get into the Word of God. But there was something that was mentioned last week. We had a guest that came on, and I want to thank Jay Gray for coming on and sharing, and that was his first time. He's been on platforms about track and field. He's a four-time Olympian, and so he's not foreign to interviews and media and stuff like that and speaking, but this was, you know, his first time speaking about his new passion, and his new passion is Jesus, and that's the bottom line of what matters. So I want to just thank him for coming on. It takes a lot of strength and courage to step out onto the water, you know. And when God is calling us, when God has placed something in us and he's calling us, kind of like Peter, Peter called out to God, and God called out to Peter and told him, come on. And Peter stepped out. So when we step out, that was the amazing thing. You know, yes, Peter lost focus, got scared, he began to sink, but that wasn't the focal point of the story. The focal point is that Peter stepped out, and he got a chance to experience. If it was one step, two step, or 10 steps, he got a chance to experience walking on water, right? So that was the thing. He had the courage to step out. And many of you, God has placed in you dreams, visions, and ideas. And God is telling you to step out. And you're too scared. You're too scared to step out. And God is saying, are you going to be obedient? Are you going to step out? So what? If you begin to sink, what happened to Peter? Ooh, this is a whole nother word. What happened to Peter? God didn't let him drown. He began to sink, and God, what? Rescued him. He saved him. He stopped him from drowning. But Peter stepped out. And that's a message in itself. God is requiring for us to step out. Step out. And no matter what happened after you step out, if God told you to step out, trust and believe that he already got you. And whether that's going to have you if you begin to sink, or he going to have you if you begin to succeed, it doesn't matter. He's going to have you. So I wanted to share that on tonight. That's not the message on tonight, but that was the message that God wanted for us. Amen. Amen. So again, I welcome you all in. We're going to get to the word, and then I'm going to get into the message. I know God has a message for us on tonight. If you've been following me for any amount of time, you probably heard the message about, you know, the words and you probably heard this message before. But the one thing about what I love about the Word of God is that, you know, we could say repeat. No message is repeated. You know, the principle of the message may be a repeat, but no message is repeated, because the message is going to, it's going to always be different. It's like the message of God is like a fingerprint. What you mean, Coach D? Fingerprints, no two fingerprints are the same. And that's the way the Word of God is. When you begin to share the Word of God, you know, it might be the same principle. We might be talking about talent. But the way it's brought, the way the message is brought, the way the Holy Spirit delivers the message, it's not going to be the same. It's always going to be different. And so the message on tonight, you know, I was like, I'm going to be honest. I had a lot going on over the last couple of weeks, and nothing negative per se, but I had a lot going on, a lot of distractions, and I know that's not great, but I had some distractions, good distractions. I had my grandbabies here, and they were here with me for a couple of weeks, and and their preteens and how we're dealing with those things and just other things that life, you know. And I was just like, Lord, what do you want me to share on tonight? What do you want me to share? But I remember something that the man of God said on last week, and he said something, and me and him have spoke about this before, but we didn't get into detail on the show. So I feel obligated to get deeper into that because I want people to get it, because it was so profound for me that I got it. And I tell you, this week was a great week for me, even though it came with some struggles. I lost a dear friend of mine this week, you know, and it was out of the blue. She hadn't been sick or anything, but it just happened out of the blue, and I was just, you know, so it hit. And, you know, as a believer, I know this is not goodbye, but see you later. I understand that, but it still doesn't take away the natural humanistic part of it for us. We still grieve. We still know the loss, you know, the familiarity of it all. So that happened and a couple of other things. But anyway, needless to say, I want to share this because people are checking out. And as we get older, we're going to start experiencing death more. Why? Because life is a cycle, and death is sure. All of us is going to die, period. There's no way to get around it. Now, you know, based on our life activities, our eating habits, just different things, we could prolong it, but it's going to happen. And so I thought, wow, this word that's going to come forth on tonight is a great thing. So I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit here, but tonight's message, if I had to put a title on tonight's message, the message would be Words Housed in Flesh. Now, that title doesn't quite fit the message on tonight when I think about it, because the message is so much deeper. But I want us to just stay with me tonight if you can, because this is going to bless somebody. This is really going to bless somebody. Again, people are leaving this earth, and this is what I'm going to share tonight. We need to know. We really need to know. So I'm going to take us to, let's start in the beginning. So let's go. I'm going to bounce around. You might want to take notes, get your notebook, paper, take your notes so that you could go back to these scriptures and study them for yourself. I'm laying a foundation so that it can give some direction as to where we will be going on tonight. So, again, take your notes. If for some reason you can't hear me, if there's any type of technical difficulty, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. If you got somebody that's struggling and they, you know, just struggling in their walk, or maybe they're not walking and they're struggling to decide if they want to walk with God, this would be a good show for you to, hey, text them right now. Tell them, hey, you might want to tune into this show. You might want to catch this message. You do that, this will be the time to do that now. So I'm going to take it. We're going to bounce around, like I said. So we're going to go, I'm going to start off in, so if you want to take notes, I'm going to go from Genesis 1, and it's going to be chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. So Genesis 1, 1 through 5. And then I'm going to skip over to John, and we're going to read John 1 through, we're going to read John 1 through, let's say 1 through 15. So John chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, and Genesis 1. That's where we're going to go tonight. So let's start it, and then after this, I'm going to skip to Matthew 7, chapter 7, and we're going to talk about chapter 7, verse 23. Okay? So I just wanted to give you guys that. I know you're probably thinking, what's going on with Coach Dion tonight? She's different. Something's out of sync. But I'm in sync. Glory to God, I'm in sync. Okay, so let's start with Genesis 1. Genesis 1, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, let's go over to, and that's in the First Testament. Now, let's go over to the Second Testament. And we're going to start in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him, who's Him? The Word. Was not anything made that was made. In the Word was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light, that the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew the Word not. The Word came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received the Word, to them gave power. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, we thank you for your Word on tonight. I pray that your Word will penetrate the heart and the mind and the souls of your people, Father. Father God, that your Word will become life. Father, that it will become productive. Father, that it will be a rhema word, a perception, a picture, that we will get it, Father God. Father God, that it's important that we get this, that we understand that you are the Word, that Jesus was you in the flesh, the living Word. And Father God, we thank you for the Word. So Lord, just be with us on tonight. I completely surrender myself to you, that I could be used by you, an instrument, Father. Father God, I die completely to self, that your Spirit will rise up on the inside, Father. For greater are you in me than any confusion on the outside. Lord, have your way. You are welcome in the studio on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's get down to this. Let's pull out the knives and forks. I'm ready to cut deep. Let's get in this. So now I read from Genesis 1 and I read from John 1. And so what I was trying to establish here and what I really need us to get if we don't get anything else on tonight is that God is the Word. And that God is the Word. We've seen that in the First Testament. And Jesus was the Word in flesh. So God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit ain't three different entities. They're all one. It's different characteristics of the Word. We have the Word. We have the Word in the flesh. And then we have the Word that dwells in us, Jesus. So I wanted to establish that because when I get to this next scripture that I didn't mention to you all, that's what tonight is about. And tonight is about this scripture because death is sure. Death is sure. And we want to make sure that when this thing called death comes, that we don't have to look at it as a bad thing. We don't have to look at it as a graven image. We don't have to look at it as a scary thing. Yes, it's going to be scary for people if they don't understand the Word. But for those of us who understand the Word and we've accepted the Word, we've received the Word, we're standing on the Word, we're impregnated with the Word, then guess what? Death is just another vehicle to get us closer to what? The Word. Amen. So that's what we're going to learn on tonight. So I wanted to establish, because if we're saying we're believers, now if you're not a believer, then I can't, you know, my point of reference is going to be something that you don't believe in, and that's the Word. So if you are a believer, then your point of reference should be like mine, the Word of God. God is the Word. And so we just established that God is the Word. The Word is God. The Word was with God. The Word is God. The Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we didn't even realize that we were walking with the Word. Guess what? Now, maybe in the First Testament, that was an issue for believers, or, you know, because the Word hadn't manifested in the flesh yet. So we had the Moseses and Abraham that was having a conversation with the Word, and then they had to come back and say, you know, this is what the Word said, and this is what the, you know. So, but in the Second Testament, and see, the First Testament, you know, people say, well, I don't worry about the First Testament. Okay, so I'm just going to say because I'm saying something. So the First Testament is what people call the Old Testament. As I learn daily, as I learn weekly, then I'm learning. I'm in a Bible study, and it's really deep. It's a really deep Bible study. I love it. But I'm learning, you know, so I'm learning things about the Word. And so I don't want to call it the Old Testament because it ain't old. And I don't, you know, so I want to call it the First Testament, you know, the First Covenant. Now we're into the Second Covenant. But neither is irrelevant because the First Testament was a type and shadow. Type and shadow is, it foretold things to come. So the First Testament was literally telling us, it was giving us, it was preparing us for the Word that was going to come in the flesh. So the Word was preparing the people of God for his arrival, for his manifestation. And so both the first and the second are relevant because the first is, it prepared us for the second. And when you understand the first, then you will, if you understand the first, then you will have no problem understanding the second, you know, and then you'll understand, you know, you'll understand why both are relevant and why we need to know both. Amen. So I wanted to just establish the fact about God being the Word. We established that when we read in Genesis, you know, that in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Now, in the beginning, remember, it didn't speak about the Word, right? But let me just share something with you. It did not speak about the Word like in John 1, but in the beginning, in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let me stop right there. So we know that said is to speak. And what do we speak? Words. So even though it doesn't mention words here, but it said, and God said, let there be light, and there was. So he spoke it, he spoke the word, and they manifested. So just keep in mind, in the beginning, it was the word speaking, and whatever the word spoke manifested. This is really good. And everything, you go through Genesis 1, and you know, because when he spoke it, when he said, let there be, there was, and it was good. So we established that. Now, getting over to the second testament, is interesting because in the first testament, he never said the word, but he spoke words that manifested things, right? So the word is speaking, and it's manifesting what the word speaks. But then in the second testament covenant, it says, in the beginning was the word. So in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So point blank, period. There's no question. God was the word. And then we're going to skip down because it told us God was the word, and the word was with God. You know, in the beginning was the word was with God, and God was the word. And then it goes down into telling us that, let's see, where was it? It says, then it goes on to tell us that, here, and it says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, so all things were made by the word. Out the word was not anything being made. This is simplistic. All things were made by the word, and without the word, not anything, not anything made that was made. In the word was life. We hear this. And the life was the light of man. And the light, we know, is the word, because the word was life. And the life was the light of man. So the word shineth in darkness. The word, I want y'all to get this. The word shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. So we're seeing here that the word, everything is about the word. And then in here it goes on to tell us that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we didn't know. We didn't even know that it was God that was with us, right? So if we didn't know that, as many of us today don't know, we don't understand this. Why is this important, Coach D? Why are you bamming this? Why are you bamming this in? I'm bamming this in because it is important. Let's go over to Matthew 7. Let's go to Matthew 7. And we're going to go to in chapter 7, we're going to go to verse, I'm going to start at verse 20. Or maybe I should start at 19. I want us to get this, and I know it's lingering. And you guys might say, where in the heck is she going? But somebody got to get this. Amen. Somebody got to get this. Okay, let's start at 19. Matthew chapter 7, verse 19. And I'm going to read down probably to 25. But let's just read. I know y'all hate reading. Y'all ain't got to read. I'm going to read. But just stay with me because it's got to make sense. It's going to make sense. It's going to make sense. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father But he who doeth the will of the Word, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. He said here, and I think the key verse here is 23, because he's saying that he will profess, because people are going to say, Lord, Lord, I did this. I was in church. I can't believe it. I was in church 3 days a week. Every time the doors opened, I was in church. I sung in the choir. I served on the usher board. I paid my tithe. All of that. And he's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I knew you not. Let's deal with this word new. If you go back to the first covenant, the word new was spoken specifically with men when they were taking on a bride. It was spoken specifically with men when they were taking on a bride. I'm going to go back to Abraham just because I want you to see it in the Word. And I'm bouncing around. I'm bouncing around because I need you to, like I said, I need you to get it. Sometimes you got to be gestalt, you know, because I need you to get it. I need you to get the pieces and pull them together because God is trying to show us something in this. There should be no reason as believers that we should ever hear the words, depart from me, I knew you not. Because God is saying, I'm trying to impregnate you with my word. He's impregnating you with his word. We're impregnated with his word, which is the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of believers that the Holy Spirit is not activated in. You know, there's a lot of believers. Because it's the Holy Spirit that helps us get through this walk. This walk is not a walk that we could do on our own. We're housed in flesh. We're housed in the den of iniquities. So it's not something we could do on our own. And he knew that. That's why the word became flesh. Had to. Because he knew that we could not accomplish what the thing, we could not accomplish the law in this flesh. And in order for him to come to suffer crucifixion, to die, to be buried, and to rise again, then was he able, through this process, to leave us a comforter. So he left us the word. And so the word now dwells where? In us. That's the Holy Spirit. It brings, you know, they said the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. It says the Holy Spirit's job is to comfort us. But the Holy Spirit, his other job is to bring all things to our remembrance. So even when we're reading the word, and some people say, I've been reading this word, and I get sleepy, I get tired, I don't really understand it. But if you got the desire, if you seek ye first the kingdom, if you knock, the doors will be open if you ask. He's saying to you, because I've left something behind, and even if you're reading it and you don't, I'll give you understanding. Why? Because the word is in you. So even if you don't understand the does and the thous and the thus and the thereto's and the therefores and thou should not, if that stuff doesn't make sense to you, if you don't understand it, but because you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, because you're seeking him, because he said, you seek him, he will be found. So because you're seeking him, because you're delighting yourself in the Lord, because of these things, then the Holy Spirit is going to bring it to you. He's going to give you the understanding. He's going to give you the revelation knowledge of this word that's boring you. And it's going to get to a point where that word is not going to bore you no more. It's not going to put you to sleep. That word is going to, it's going to rise up on the inside of you, and you're going to thirst for this word. You're going to desire this word. You're going to desire intimacy with God, and he desires this intimacy with us. He wants to impregnate us with his word. He wants to activate his word in us. He wants us to be one with him. It's no different, man, when you get a lady. You meet this lady and you liking her. She everything you think you prayed for and you desire and you want to be with her. Do you think that this relationship will work well if you ain't spending time with her? Absolutely not. If there's no intimacy, you're not spending time. You guys are not talking. You're not communicating. You're not conversing. There's no shared chemistry. That relationship's not going to work. Because why? You don't know her. You don't know her. And so, and then if you don't know her, you can't knew her. Somebody gonna get that. But if you don't know her, you can't knew her. What you mean, Coach D? You know, that's what's wrong in the world. The enemy done tricked you guys. He tricked Eve in the garden. You know, he tricked her into thinking that she could do something outside of God. And that's what he's doing on the earth today. Oh, go ahead and have sex. Just put a rubber on. Excuse the language, you guys, but I believe it's mostly adults. Go ahead and put a rubber on. Then you won't get pregnant. Then you won't catch no diseases. But it ain't even about putting the rubber on. It's about the act. But he got you tricked up. And now you got people that, you know, you having sex outside of marriage and you having babies. See, there's consequences to that. Y'all think it's just the sex outside of marriage, but it's the consequences behind it. The consequences, pregnancies outside of marriage lead to unwed pregnancies. That leads to generally single-parent households. You know, that's the bigger issue of it. Yeah, the other issues could be, yeah, maybe you catch an STD, you know, spiritually transmitted disease. You just slept with this person. You'd have been sex was ordained for oneness. The two became one. How you think they became one? They became one because of he knew her. He knew her, right? And that's what I was gonna take you guys to, because I don't want you to think that I'm just Coach G just talking. You know, she just talking and this is not the Bible, but this is the Bible. If we go back to Genesis, and it's in a couple of places, it's throughout the Bible, but I want to go back to Genesis, and I want to talk about Abraham. Let's see here. We're going to go back to, bear with me, you guys, here. We're going to go to Genesis and let's see here. So we're going to go back, and I'm sorry for the delays, everybody, but we're going to go to Genesis, and I believe we're going to go to the 18th chapter. And it's going to talk about Abraham. He knew Sarah. And every time it talked about a man in the Bible knowing a woman, what that meant was it was, you know, we think when we say, oh, well, I knew you. Oh, yeah, I know him. You know, he's from the hood. I know him. We from the same neighborhood. I know her. But that's not what it was meant in the Bible. Knew means they had intimacy. They became intimate. He knew her. And it says, Adam, let's go with Adam. It says Adam knew Eve, and she conceived, Adam knew Eve, and she conceived, and she bare Cain. And she bare Cain. And so that tells us that that word knew is an intimate thing. So she knew, it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. So we know that the new is an intimate thing. Why are you saying this, Coach D? Why are you dwelling on this? Because then it takes me back to Matthew. So now I understand in the Bible when it speaks of dependent, when it speaks about new, we're talking about intimacy. So now, when we hear God saying to us, depart from me, I knew you not. It ain't because he said he don't know us, because he knows us. He knows everybody. He knows, he created us, right? He created us. Even those who choose not to serve him, those who are not going to be his children, those who will rebel, he knows everything. He said he knows us from the foundation. He knows us from the foundation of the earth. He knew, right? But that's not the new he's talking about. He's saying to us that when he tells us to depart from him, he's telling us that he never knew us. There was never any intimacy. We never took the time to become intimate with him. We never took the time to spend time with him. We didn't get the time to know him. He's the Word. God is the Word, and he left his Word. He imparted his Word in Abraham and Moses. He imparted his Word, and you know, Moses wrote the New Testament. He wrote that. And then when you get into the First Testament. And then when you get into the Second Testament, you have Paul was a writer. You have Matthew and John and Luke. He inspired them. They knew him. He knew them. There was an intimacy. He imparted in them. He did an impartation in them. And they were obedient. And they were obedient to him, right? So that's where we get our word today, because there was a knowing. He knew them. He was intimate with them. There was an impartation that took place. And he wants the same thing with us. It didn't stop with them. It did not stop with them. It's with us too. He wants that same relationship with us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know his word. He wants his word in us. Because there's going to come a time, and if you read the word of God and you begin to study, there's going to become a time where it's saying it won't be around. The word won't be around. You won't be able to find it. You won't be able to pick up a book. What if they do away with the Bible? What if they completely do away with the Bible? And you don't have a point of reference to go through or go to, I'm sorry. But you got the word living in you, but the word that's living in you got to be activated. What you mean, Coach? It needs to be activated. And you activate it by spending intimate time with the word. Then it won't matter if the word is not here no more. Why? Because the word is in you. It's activated. It's dwelling in you. It's active. It's alive. It's productive. It's bringing things to your remembrance. But what can it, it's got, to, in order to bring something to remembrance, re-meaning to repeat, you know, to rewind in memories, your mind. So it can't bring something to your remembrance if there's nothing there to remember. So you're going to have to know the word so when the time comes, the word that's activated in you is activated through the word and your intimacy with it, that it's going to bring things to your remembrance. So what? I don't have a Bible. If I don't have a Bible, there's certain scriptures I'm standing on, I remember. Do I know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? No. But I know enough about the word, and I read the word, that I'm trusting my relationship with the word that will bring all things to my remembrance. That the relationship with the word will bring up the word that I need in that time, in that circumstance, in that situation. Even in life today, the things we experience and go through, and we're going to go through some stuff, and if you think it's going to get better, it's not. And I'm not trying to give a message of doom and gloom, but we gave it too many cute messages that's been delivered well from eloquent speakers, you know, that could speak good, that could bring the message, that could minister to your emotions and itch your ears, and everybody's excited and everybody's prospering and everybody's getting what they want because they name it and claim it because they've been convinced that God is a genie in the bottle, and all you got to do is speak it and the genie manifests your dreams and your visions and your ideas. You know, everybody thinking, why people would not think that they could do what they want to do? You could do whatever you want to do. You could live the way of however you want to live. And people thinking this because guess why? Because ain't nobody tell them that if you live a certain way, you're going to hell. You're not going to heaven. If you live a certain way, you're not pleasing to God. You're not glorifying God. You're not going to have peace. I don't care how many houses on the hills that you buy. I don't care how many Ferraris. I don't care how many Bentleys that you buy. I don't care how many diamonds you have on your hand. It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter because it's not going to bring you the peace that you want. There are millionaires right now that don't have peace. There's millionaires that got to take shots to go to sleep. I wish Michael Jackson was still here so that he could tell the story. I wish he was still here to tell his testimony. There are people that still be rich, probably can have anything they want to have, but they don't have the one thing. They don't have the word. They don't have peace. They don't have joy. And I'm not saying you got to be poor to experience peace. I'm not saying that you have to live in poverty to experience joy. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that everything that we're doing in our life should be glorifying God. And if we're not glorifying God, and if we're not becoming one with the word, and we're not becoming intimate with the word, then there's consequences, period. There's consequences, and nobody's teaching the consequences. Nobody's teaching the separation. And now we have a full shelf. You ain't even got to walk in a bookstore anymore. You could go right here, push a button, and you're on Amazon, and you can order any book you want. And we got a full shelves and millions of books on self-help, self-improvement. Everything's about self, and we all want to be self-glorified and self-identified. And we all trying to be self better. And guess what? Isn't that amazing that we got all these authors that's telling us something about being a better version of a better self? And then the word of God saying that in the last day, men will be lovers of themselves. Keep doing you. You know, I'm doing me. Keep doing you. Because while you doing you, and you're not doing God, then tell me how it works for you. This might sound like a push, but I'm just saying the word. It's the word, it's the word. The word don't change. The word don't turn. The word is the word. It's the word of God. You need to get into the word of God. You need to get into the intimacy of the word of God. You need to understand who God is, who the word is, and we need to understand who the word is because the word is all we're going to have. As believers, the word is the only thing that we're going to have to stand on. And it's not about us. It really is not about us. It's about him. It's about him. And what we're seeing is a manifestation of people that think that this thing is about them. You got songs. It's all about me. It's all about you. But it's really all about God. And God is not going to let nobody steal his shine. He's not going to let nobody steal his glory. So he should be getting the glory in everything we're doing in our lives. And if he's not getting the glory, then we need to be Coach D. He's no respecter of person. God is not getting the glory in your life. Then we need to be asking ourselves, what do I need to do different in my life that God is getting the glory? What do I need to do different in my life so I can have an intimate encounter with the word? Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight. Lord, we just pray that you will show us as we seek you wholeheartedly and diligently, Lord, that you will just show us how to have an encounter, an intimate encounter with you, the word, Father. Father God, we thank you. We give you the glory and we give you the honor. We pray that you will have your way in our lives. Continue to activate your word in us, Father. Father God, that we could become one with your word. Lord, so that we do not have to hear those dreadful words when our time comes, and it will come, that we don't have to hear the dreadful words, depart from me, for I knew you not. But Father, we want to know you. I believe Yolanda Adams sung a song that I want to know you in your suffering. I want to know you, Lord. So Father God, we just thank you. I thank you for each and every person tuning in on tonight. Father, I pray that you will have your way, that you will just have your way in their lives. Father God, for those who are hurting, and I know many are hurting, Father God, that you will comfort them. Father God, that your word will come and shine light on every dark situation, that you will comfort them, that you will keep them, that you will guide them, that you will direct them. But most important, Father, that you will impregnate them with your word. Lord, we just thank you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor, for you are the living word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I'm going to take a couple of seconds. We got a couple of minutes before we come to a close. If you are listening in on tonight and you have a question or comment, if this message really, ministered to you, please feel free to dial one on your dial pad. I'm not going to take a lot of time in this. I try to get in the habit of being able to open up the lines. If there are people that want to say some things, and it never fails when I open up the line, nobody has nothing to say. But then when I don't open up the lines, I get text messages and emails and voicemails from people that say, I wish you would have opened up the line. So I'm gonna give a couple of seconds to give people an opportunity. If you have something to say, dial one on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a comment, a question, or maybe you have your own revelation based on the word. Amen. But if not, I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to join us tonight on this episode of Processing the Pain. Again, I'm just going to say we started at Genesis 1 and we took Genesis 1 and we went from Genesis 1 all the way to Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. That's where we started. And then we skipped over to John, the Gospel of John, and we started at chapter 1, and we went all the way to chapter 15. So those are things, if you want to reflect back on, in Genesis chapter 1, 1 through 5, and John chapter 1, 1 through 15, we were identifying the fact that God is the Word. In the first testament, God was speaking, God was the Word speaking and manifesting, and then in the second covenant, He was the Word in flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. And then when God left, Jesus, when He left, then He imparted His in believers, He imparted the Word Himself, the Word. So, isn't that exciting? That's so exciting to me. But yeah, so he was the Word speaking, the Word made flesh, and then the Word imparted in us. Amen. So, so I just wanted to really bring that back to you. And this all is the Word. But my reason for this tonight was, like I said, I death. We were talking about death, and we know that all of us are going to leave here. And my desire is not for myself, for those I love, for you all of us, my desire is that we all have a personal encounter where God could say he knew us, he impregnated us, that word that's in us, that he activated it. And that's amazing even in that, and I'm going to let you guys go, because think about it. You know, spiritual first, natural second. But if you notice that everything, you know, that everything in the natural is spiritual. So what do you mean, Coach D? For example, look how God created women. We're reproducers, right? We produce. So think about it. This is exciting. This is another thing. But check this out. Think about how the woman's body is. The woman has eggs, okay? The woman has eggs. So those eggs, are they life potential? Yes. And when those eggs have an encounter sperm, then that egg now becomes life, right? Isn't that amazing when you think about that? Because it's kind of like, when you think about it, almost like when we're talking about God. When you think about Genesis 1, you're thinking that was the word speaking, the potential of speaking that was manifest in things. But then the word became flesh and then manifested here on earth and dwelled among us. So I guess the point I want to make is just because you don't see a baby doesn't mean that it don't exist. Because we have all these eggs inside of us. And just because we don't see the manifestation of what we know to be a baby, the arms, the legs, the head, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, doesn't mean that it don't exist. And that's what we're seeing in these three parts with God. You know, we've seen them in the beginning, the first covenant. Then we've seen them in the second covenant that, you know, that the word, and we're learning in the second that the word was with God, the word was God, God was the word, and then the word became flesh. So this is really, you know, exciting for me. I don't know if it's exciting for you, but it's exciting for me because guess what? I know that I'm not going to hear the words depart from me because I knew you not. Because guess what? He knows me. And his word dwells in me, and it's activated in me. It's activated in me, and I have an intimacy with the word. Amen. And I want that for you too. But I won't keep you any further. Thank you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. We'll be back here next Thursday as God sees fit, and we'll be into a whole other thing. But I hope you got the word on tonight, and I hope that this word has placed the fire in you that you need to begin to have those intimate moments with the word. Good night.